is cast over the entire world, and no one is secure. Some states define in their strategies the use of nuclear bombs as an element of stability and security, and this constitutes a gross mistake. The production and possession of nuclear bombs under any pretext is hazardous, and first and foremost to the country of production and stockpiling, which is exposed the most to its hazards. You may recall the perilous and unintentional transfer of a nuclear missile on a bomber from a military base to another base in the United States, which became a matter of concern to the health and security of Americans and its government. The sole purpose of nuclear weapons is to annihilate all living beings and destroy the environment, and its radiations could affect future generations, leaving a negative impact on the environment that remains for centuries. The nuclear bomb is a fire against humanity rather than a weapon for defense. The possession of nuclear bombs is not a source of pride. Its possession is disgusting and shameful. And even more shameful is the threat to use such weapons, which, if used, the scale of its destruction is incomparable to any crime committed throughout history. Those who carried out the first atomic bombardments are among the most hated individuals in human history. The United Nations, in particular the Security Council, have for over the past 60 years been unable to establish sustainable security, let alone give a sense of security to nations in their international relations. The current international milieu seems far more challenging than previous decades. Wars, acts of aggression, and above all, the shadow of threat resulting from the stockpiling of nuclear armaments, and even worse, unfair policies applied by a select group of expansionist states, have obscured the prospect of international security. These days, communities largely carry a sense of insecurity as a result. Nuclear disarmament and non-proliferation have failed to materialize, and the International Atomic Energy Agency has been unsuccessful in discharging its mandate. During the past four decades, some states, including the Zionist regime, have been equipped with nuclear arms. Despite international measures to promote disarmament. So what really is the cause of failure to disarm? To answer this question, in fact, one should look into the policies and practices of certain states as well as the efficacy of the NPT and the imbalances it curtails, some of which are as follows. First is what I label as the domineering influences. From the perspective of divine prophets and the righteous, and according to all humane concepts, the sublime growth and prosperity of man is measured by his morality, piety, modesty, and devotion to other fellow human beings. Unfortunately, by relying on a theory that states struggle is survival, some states seek their superiority through the power to threaten and suppress others, and sow the seeds of hatred, enmity. They promote arms race, in the international arena. Their gross mistake is their assumption that might makes it right. Second is the misperception that there should even be a policy that allows the production and use of nuclear weapons. The first nuclear bomb was produced by a previous government of the United States. It seemed apparently that it would provide the United States and its allies the upper hand in World War II. However, it became the main source of encouragement to others to develop nuclear weapons and brought the world to the brink of a nuclear arms race. The production, stockpiling, and qualitative improvement of nuclear armaments in any given country now serves as a justification for the others to develop their own arsenals, a trend that has sustained over the past 40 years. Three, the misperception that nuclear weapons is a means of deterrence. This misperception is, which has in fact translated into policy, is the main cause of the escalation of arms race. Deterrence requires having an edge in both quality and quantity of weapons, which itself fuels the nuclear race. There are, reportedly, more than 20,000 nuclear warheads worldwide, half of which belong to the United States. The other competing groups continue to develop nuclear weapon under the pretext of deterrence. Both trends constitute a violation of obligations under the Nuclear Proliferation Treaty, or NPT. Fourth is the misperception that it is okay to use nuclear weapons. Regrettably, the United States has not only used nuclear weapons, but also continues to threaten the use of such weapons against other countries, including my country. Might I remind you that a few years back, another country from Europe also made a similar nuclear threat under a false pretext as well. The Zionist regime, too, consistently threatens Middle Eastern countries with its nuclear arsenal. A fifth issue is what I call the instrumental exploitation of the Security Council and the International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA. By enjoying special privileges in the highest global security decision-making bodies and in the IAEA, certain nuclear weapon states widely exploit these platforms against non-nuclear weapon states, contrary to the spirit of the NPT. This unjust practice, repeated over and over, has turned into a pattern. So far, none of the non-nuclear weapon states has ever been able to exercise their inalienable and legal right to develop the peaceful use of nuclear energy without facing pressure and threat at some level. Despite clear provisions of Article 6 of the treaty, that is the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and the statute of the IAEA, not a single report has been issued by the IAEA inspectors on the nuclear weapons facilities of the United States and its allies, nor is there any plan for their disarmament. However, numerous resolutions are adopted against non-nuclear weapon states under pressure by the same states, which use false pretexts with the clear intention of denying other member states their recognized legal rights to develop peaceful nuclear energy. Sixth is the prevailing sense that it is all right to use double standards. Although, for example, the Zionist regime stockpiles hundreds of nuclear warheads, wages numerous wars in the Middle East region, and continues to threaten the people and nations of the region with acts of terror and threats of invasion, it enjoys the unconditional support of the United States government and its allies, and receives the necessary assistance to develop a nuclear weapons program. The same states impose various kinds of pressures on other members of the IAEA by using false pretexts of probable diversions on their peaceful nuclear activities, failing to provide even a single credible proof to substantiate their allegations. Seventh, is equating nuclear weapons with nuclear energy. Nuclear energy is among the cleanest and cheapest sources of energy. Severe climate change and environmental pollution caused by fossil fuel has intensified the need to expand the use of nuclear energy. Almost 7 million barrels of oil are needed for the continual generation of 1,000 megawatts of electricity annually, which by today's crude oil price would cost over $500 million. The cost of generating the same capacity with nuclear energy is around $60 million. Generally, the investment needed to construct and utilize a nuclear power plant is far less than half of the cost of a power plant operating with fossil fuels during its lifespan. Moreover, nuclear technology can be effectively and widely applied in the production of medical isotopes for diagnosis and treatment of life-threatening diseases, as well as in the industrial and agricultural sectors and other fields. One of the gravest injustices committed by nuclear weapon states is equating nuclear arms with nuclear energy. As a matter of fact, these states seek to exclusively monopolize both nuclear weapons and peaceful nuclear energy, because by doing so, they can impose their will on the international community. These acts are against the spirit of the NPT and in flagrant violation of its provisions. Eighth and last is the issue I would like to address, which I call the imbalance in the pillars of the NPT and the IAEA mandates. The NPT has as its key mandate the prevention of a nuclear arms race, the promotion of nuclear disarmament and non-proliferation, as well as the facilitation of the inalienable right of member states to use peace for nuclear energy. Very difficult conditions have been put into its mechanisms and regulations to supervise countries seeking the peaceful use of nuclear energy. Yet, no effective mechanism has been devised to address the actual threat from nuclear weapons, which should be, in fact, the most important mission of the IAEA. All efforts in this respect have been only limited to talks that lack any binding force of guarantee or effectiveness. The IAEA has been placing every possible pressure on non-nuclear weapon states under the pretext of proliferation risks, when it should have been doing otherwise. This is why those having nuclear bombs continue to enjoy full immunity from the IAEA and exclusive rights. Mr. President, dear friends, it is now clear that the production and stockpiling of nuclear weapons and policy practices by some nuclear weapon states, as well as with the weakness of and the imbalance in the NPT provisions, are the main cause of insecurity and serve as an incentive for the development of nuclear weapons. Nuclear disarmament, the elimination of nuclear threats, and non-proliferation are regarded as the greatest service to establishing sustainable peace and security and amity. The question is, however, whether it is appropriate to grant extraordinary authority in the IAEA to the nuclear weapon states and entrust them with the critical issue of nuclear disarmament. It would be naive and irrational to expect an effective and voluntary initiative towards disarmament and non-proliferation simply because these states consider nuclear weapons as an element of their superiority over others. There's an Iranian saying that reads, "A knife never cuts its own handle." Expecting major arms dealers to work for security is an illogical expectation. The government of the United States, which is the main suspect in the production, stockpiling, and use and threat of the use of nuclear weapons, insists on assuming the leadership role in reviewing the NPT. Now, the U.S. administration, in its recently released Nuclear Posture Review, or NPR, has announced it will neither produce nuclear weapons nor will it attack non-nuclear weapon states with nuclear weapons. But the United States has never respected any of its commitments. So one may ask, how much could nations possibly trust the United States to implement its commitments? What guarantees are there that it would live up to such commitments? And what are the tools for independent verification of its guarantees? It should be borne in mind that in previous decades, the United States has had most of its wars and conflicts with those who were once its friends. Furthermore, under the same NPR initiative, some member states of the IAEA, which are also committed members of the NPT, have been threatened to be the target of a preemptive nuclear strike. The United States government has always tried to divert the public opinion's attention from its noncompliance and unlawful actions by bringing into focus some misleading issue. They have recently raised the issue of nuclear terrorism as part of their efforts to maintain and upgrade their nuclear arsenals on one hand and divert world public opinion from the issue of disarmament and direct them toward phony matters on the other hand. Arming terrorists with nuclear weapons are only conceivable by those states which possess such weapons and have used them, and also have a long record of supporting terrorists. In its NPR, the United States has kept silent about a nuclear strike against nuclear weapon states in order to concentrate the propaganda pressure on certain independent nations. This is while major terrorist networks are supported by the United States intelligence agencies and the Zionist regime. Credible evidence is available in this connection that will be publicized, if needed, during the forthcoming conference on the global fight against terrorism in Tehran. In the NPR, it is noted that the United States will not develop new nuclear weapons, but they will continue to improve them qualitatively. The qualitative improvement of nuclear weapons is tantamount to the increase in lethality and destructive power of such weapons, which is a vertical proliferation. In addition, its stated policies are non-verifiable because there is no supervision by any independent authoritative body on the nuclear programs of the United States and its allies. By comparing the Washington Nuclear Security Summit with the Tehran Nuclear Disarmament and Non-Proliferation Conference, the efforts of the host of the former in Washington were aimed at preserving monopoly over discussions on nuclear weapons and to preserve their superiority on other countries. While in the latter conference in Tehran, all the participants sought was a world free from nuclear weapons. The motto of the Tehran conference was nuclear energy for all, nuclear weapons for none. Mr. President, distinguished delegates, to realize the humane aspiration to disarm the world from nuclear weapons to engage in non-proliferation and promote peaceful use of nuclear energy, I would like to offer the following proposals. One, review of the achievements of the NPT. The NPT should lead the nuclear disarmament and non-proliferation treaty, the NPT. And nuclear disarmament must be put at the core of its mandate through transparent, binding, and effective mechanisms supported by solid international guarantees. Two, the establishment of an independent international group with full authority from the conference to prepare a set of guidelines to operationalize the provisions of Article 6 of the NPT, including planning and fully supervising nuclear disarmament and preventing proliferation. The group should conduct its work with the effective participation of all independent countries by setting a deadline for complete elimination of all nuclear weapons within a specified timetable. So, in other words, all these nuclear weapons should be eliminated within that timetable. Three, the introduction of legally binding comprehensive security guarantees without discrimination or preconditions until the achievement of full nuclear disarmament by nuclear weapon states. Four, the immediate termination of all types of research, development, or improvement of nuclear weapons and their related facilities, as well as the introduction of a verification mechanism by the above-mentioned group. Five, the adoption of a legally binding instrument on the full prohibition of production, stockpiling, improvement, proliferation, maintaining, and use of nuclear weapons. Six, the suspension of membership in the Board of Governors of the IAEA for those states which use or threaten to use nuclear weapons. The presence and political influence of these states has so far prevented the IAEA from performing its mandates, particularly with regard to Articles 4 and 6 of the treaty, and has caused the agency to deviate from conducting its authorized missions. In particular, how could the government of the United States be a member of the Board of Governors while it has not only used the nuclear bomb against Japan, but also used depleted uranium weaponaries in the Iraq war? Seven, the cessation of all kinds of nuclear cooperation with non-member states of NPT and the adoption of effective punitive measures against all those states which continue their cooperation with such non-member states. Eight, considering any threat to use nuclear weapons or attack against peaceful nuclear facilities as a breach of international peace and security, and swift reaction from the United Nations through the termination of all cooperation of NPT member states with the threatening aggressor state. Nine, immediate and unconditional implementation of the resolution adopted by the 1995 Review Conference on the establishment of a nuclear-free zone in the Middle East. 10, dismantling of nuclear weapons stationed in the military bases of the United States and its allies in other countries, including Germany, Italy, Japan, and the Netherlands. 11. Collective effort to reform the structure of the Security Council. The current structure of the Security Council is extremely unfair and inefficient, and mainly serves the interests of the nuclear weapon states. Reforming the structure of the Council, along with reviewing the achievement of the NPT, are interrelated and essential for the realization of the IAEA's objectives. Mr. President, dear friends, as the representative of a great and civilized nation, one which has contributed to human culture throughout history and has always been the heralder of the need to worship God, justice and peace in the world, I would like to announce that the Islamic Republic of Iran is ready to partake in the materialization of those proposals, as well as just plans on disarmament and non-proliferation and peaceful use of clean nuclear energies. I pronounce loudly that a nation which has bred great personalities such as Ferdowsi, Hafez, Sana'i, Vahshi Baghi, Avicenna, Abu Rayhan, Shahriyar, and independent and freedom-seeking intellectuals and wise personalities such as Imam Khomeini and bestowed them to humanity, a nation which has always called for love, compassion, and peace for mankind, a nation, the poem of whose great poet Sa'di is glaring in the United Nations, which says, quote, one essence is the human race. Thusly has creation put the base. A nation which abolished slavery 2,500 years ago, I mean and speak of the great nation of Iran, is not one that needs nuclear bombs for its development and does not regard it as a source of its honor and dignity. The logic and will of the Iranian nation is a reflection of the logic and will of all nations. All nations love peace, brotherhood, and monotheism, and suffer from discrimination and injustice. Many of my colleagues, the heads of states, and many of sympathetic and justice-seeking dignitaries and commentators, in their talks with me, have shared this view that there is a dire need for global disarmament and the expansion of peaceful use of clean nuclear energy for all by breaking the monopoly imposed in these fields. As was contained in the foregoing proposals, this is the heartfelt demand of all independent nations and states that nuclear energy for everyone, nuclear weapon for no one. Accordingly, my presence and the essence of my statement here in this conference is only a representation of their presence and demands. Dear colleagues, now, may I say a few words to those who still maintain that the production and stockpiling of nuclear weapons are sources for power and dignity. They must understand that the era of relying on nuclear bombs has already passed. The production, stockpiling, and the threat to use weapons, in particular nuclear weapons, is for people characterized by a lack of consistent logic and wise behavior. Using threat against a strong logic belongs to the past and is not viable anymore. In the current era, we speak of the age of nations, thoughts, and cultures, relying on weapons in international dialogue and relations is a legacy of unwise and anachronistic states. It is crystal clear that the hegemonic policies thus far have failed, and the dreams for establishing new empires are vain hopes moving forward and will never come true. Rather than continuing with the failed policies of the past, it would be better to join the wide and transparent ocean of nations across and beyond borders of independent states carried hand in hand with human wisdom and culture. This would be in everyone's best interest. The future belongs to nations. Security, peace, and justice would be established by righteous people and perfect men throughout the world. The power of logic could prevail over the logic of power. There will be no room in the future for bullying and for arrogance. The common movement of the nations throughout the world for fundamental reforms based on monotheism and justice has already begun in the international arena. I invite Mr. Obama, the respectful President of the United States, to join this humane movement if he is still committed to his motto of change, since tomorrow would be too late for this. Here, I would like to acknowledge and express my appreciation for the efforts of the President of the Conference, the distinguished audience and participants, and all those who strive for the establishment of peace and justice in the world. Dear friends and colleagues, through cooperation and the solidarity of our hearts and with harmony, our aspiration for establishing a world blessed with justice and peace is indeed achievable. And the motto of nuclear energy for all, nuclear weapons for none, is the basis for interaction among human beings as well as between human and nature. Let us hope for a day on which, through the realization of justice, no one will be infuriated. And even if so happened, let's hope again, no weapon would be found to satisfy it. Greeting to justice and liberty. Greeting to love and affection. Greeting to the followers of the school of compassionate and human beings who love humans. I wish you all every success and prosperity.